Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
But first, this afternoon, the HSE gave an update on the ongoing impact of COVID on the hospital system and how the vaccination programme will be extended to the younger age groups. CEO of the HSE, Paul Reid, summed up the COVID situation at the moment.
I think the public should have great grounds for optimism based on what's happening with the vaccination programme. It's really proven great benefits, and as we've demonstrated here today, reducing illness, hospitalisation. Secondly, the cases appear to have plateaued for a few days. We would like to see another week of that before we'd confirm it as a trend. Thirdly, our hospitalisations haven't plateaued. Our hospitalisations are actually growing, 60% up in last week. So that, from A to Z perspective, is a cause of concern for us, particularly with the pressures that's on our hospital system at the moment. So, you know, we see great grounds for optimism. But we would always caution that right now, we don't want people to drop their guard. We want people to keep their guard up. Let's get the rest of the younger people vaccinated and we'll be all in a much stronger position.
Well, for more on all this, we're joined by Priscilla Lynch, clinical editor of the Medical Independent. And somewhat of a mixed message there, Priscilla, from Paul Reid. Can you talk us through the situation with regard to COVID in hospitals at the moment?
Yeah, that's right. I suppose there was a lot of positivity, but there was this caution as well, just in relation to the case numbers in hospital. So as of this morning, there's 160 people in hospital with COVID-19. 26 of them are in ICU, and that's a 60% rise on the numbers hospitalised last week, an 18% rise in those in ICU. So those numbers are still climbing in hospital, even though we look like we have roughly plateaued, perhaps, with new cases over the last 5 days. We're having around 1,100 to 1,400 new cases of COVID-19 being reported daily, and testing demand is quite high. So again, there was strong defence from Paul Reid today just about the numbers hospitalised. I know in political circles last week it had been mentioned that the government was looking for further data on the amount of people who were in hospital with COVID, who were actually admitted for COVID, or did they test positive within hospital. I think there was surprise among the healthcare community really at this question, because maybe it would have been relevant back in January and February. I mean, when there was huge outbreaks of COVID-19 within hospital, and a lot of people contracted COVID-19 within hospital. Some sadly died and others got it asymptomatically. But today Paul Reid pointed out the majority of people who are in hospital now are actually there because they were admitted with COVID-19 in the first place, and they are being treated for COVID-19. And he said that nobody should be of the view that anybody hospitalised for this virus, that it's a minor thing, that they are there, that they need support, and that a small number of people in hospital who have COVID-19 would have caught it within hospital, just a very small number at the moment because of the high levels of vaccination, and also that a smaller number would have just tested positive and would be asymptomatic. So he strongly defended the figures on the amount of people who are hospitalised, and he said that it still has a very significant impact on the health system, a disproportionate impact for every patient who is hospitalised, given the need to isolate them.
Yeah, and I was just going to ask you about that, because 60% in and of itself for the number of people being treated in hospital on this day last week, and an increase of 60%, it's not an insignificant figure, but it was particularly interesting, you know, how he outlined COVID patients are different in terms of the impact on the hospital.
They do. It's disproportionate in relation to having to isolate them, to have to make sure that staff know where they are, that they are treated in a particular ward, that other patients are protected, you know, that full PPE is there. Often it can have, if there is a certain number of those patients in hospital, it can have a knock-on effect on surgery in the hospital, perhaps. Do you know if any cancellations? But thankfully, compared to January, when we had a peak of about 2,000 patients hospitalised with COVID-19, of course, it is very good news, and it is a smaller number. But we were pointed out that, say, earlier at the start of this month, we had 42 patients in hospital with COVID-19. So those numbers have increased, and they are having a burden on the health system. So that was just pointed out, even though, again, a lot of the messages were positive today.
There were some figures for the numbers presenting for testing, 11% positivity rate at some centres, but some as high as 21%.
That's right. The overall positivity around the country at the moment is about 11.7%, which is quite high, really. They prefer to have it below 3%. But in some centres, then, it's over 20%, we were told today, particularly in areas like Meath, Monaghan and Donegal. There's quite a lot of demand. So demand is still very high for testing. They're carrying out about 15,000 tests per day, Monday to Friday. Some days, though, it can be over 23,000. But it has stabilised in the last week, according to Niamh Byrne, who's in charge of the testing there. There's obviously a lot of demand as well still for walk-in tests. testing. And we heard today that the kind of the group that are have the biggest demand for testing at the moment are 16 to 24 year olds, and they're also the group that are kind of more likely to test positive as well.
Well, we might just hear from Niamh O'Byrne now, because she is the national lead for testing and tracing, and she gave, as you say, some very interesting information today, focusing on where people are now picking up COVID. It's still household settings, but the positivity rate is increasing in transport settings.
When we look at close contacts, household does remain the largest portion of close contacts at 45%. But this week, for one of the first times, they're not the highest in terms of positivity level. Transport is the highest positivity. That means non-flight related transport. That's cars, buses, trains. And after that, it comes to household again at 19.7% and social, which is increased to be expected as we have continued to open up. Over 29%, though, of close contacts are now fully vaccinated. And this is a positive trend. This has continued to move up due to the success of the vaccination programme. So this number was 19% last week. So what this is showing us is that we're continuing to get more and more protection for people. And if you are a close contact who's fully vaccinated and you do not have symptoms, you don't come into the testing system.
So that's particularly interesting, isn't it, Priscilla? But you won't need to come forward for testing as a close contact if you're fully vaccinated.
Yeah, that's right. So that's something that's obviously happened in recent weeks, though I do know people who have been fully vaccinated and who have presented for testing because they have been symptomatic. So they have been allowed to get tested if they wished. And a small percentage of people who are testing positive for COVID-19 are actually partially or fully vaccinated, as the case may be. But it's not mandatory, or, you know, that you would come forward for testing, as pointed out, if you are fully vaccinated. But those who have symptoms are reminded perhaps that maybe they should consider being tested too.
The vaccination programme, as we keep hearing, it's going very well so far. 71% of adults. Is it 71% fully vaccinated at this point?
Yeah, that's right. So 71% of adults, that's those over the age of 18, are fully vaccinated. 86% of adults have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. So they said again that we are progressing very quickly and very well in relation to the rollout of the programme. They administered over 326,000 doses last week, and they're on target to hit over 300,000 this week and about 250,000 next week, depending on supply coming in. So again, the vaccine is being administered primarily now through the mass vaccination centres, also in pharmacies as well. And GPs would have had a key role there in vaccinating the older population as well. We know that vaccination has opened up for 16 and 17 year olds in recent days, and we hear that nearly 50,000 of those have actually registered already. So that has got underway. They are still, though, carrying out preparations for the vaccination portal for 12 to 15 year olds, because this age group will need parental consent, so they do need to change the IT system somewhat, and they hope to open this up within the next 2 weeks and to release further details on how it's actually going to work next week.
Yeah, I think Damien McCallion, who's the HSE lead for the vaccination programme, was talking about this today, and we might just have a listen to Damien now.
So effectively the population is around 280,000 in that age group based on the CSO figures. So one is that we will primarily use the vaccination centres, but we're also going to work with GPs and pharmacies for a couple of reasons. One is geography, and two will also be, we recognise there may be some young children who may not find a vaccination centre appropriate, people perhaps with disability or autism and so on, and we want to make sure there's alternatives there for people. In terms of timing, what we're looking at, there's a number of key things. NIAC set out very clearly that we must make sure the appropriate information and consent is made available to parents, and we're working on both a communications campaign at a global level, but also making sure our national immunisation officer ensuring that the information is available to people at an individual level as well. So that's one piece. The second piece then is our system, our registration system, is obviously adult focused up until now, and we're incorporating the consent elements into that. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll finalise a date, an exact date for when we launch that over the coming days. But we're talking round about over the next couple of weeks in terms of when that would formally commence.
And so that was Damien McCallion. Do the HSE expect, Priscilla, finally, that this group could be vaccinated? Is there any chance before going back to school?
Well, that is the hope in government circles, certainly, that they would start as soon as possible, and that a good chunk of that population would be vaccinated by the time they start school or within the first week or two of returning to school. Those, of course, who choose to be vaccinated, because this is not going to be mandatory. They particularly put an emphasis on the 12 to 15 year olds who are immunocompromised or who have underlying health conditions or who live with someone who has an underlying health condition. They will be prioritised for vaccination first. And we know as well that this weekend in particular, they are hoping they're launching walk-in vaccination clinics and they are targeting younger people in particular, 16, 17 year olds and up to their 20s, because over three quarters of cases of COVID-19 in the last couple of weeks have been in under 35s, and there's been a particular spike in cases in those aged 16 to 24. So those are really the people that they're hoping that will come forward this weekend in particular to get their first dose of the vaccine.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Priscilla Lynch with the clinical editor of the Medical Independent. There were some interesting, very interesting findings of a survey the HSE did about maternity hospitals and which hospitals are complying with guidelines on letting partners come with pregnant women to appointments. And we're going to be going through that in more detail with Dr. Colm Henry, Chief Operating Officer of the HSE, after 5 o'clock. That and other issues that were raised at the briefing today.